Welcome back to Closer Look here on 90.1 WABE, Atlanta's choice for NPR. I'm Jim Burris.
And I'm Rose Scott. So we're going to continue our series of conversations on affordable housing in and around the Atlanta area. In January of this year, the Atlanta Board of Education announced a task force that would focus on this issue. Their purpose, to explore the possibility of repurposing surplus APS facilities into affordable housing units. So the task force is made up of both business and community leaders. And to find out more about their mission, we're joined now by Nathaniel Smith. He's the chairman of the Affordable Housing Task Force for APS. He's also the founder and chief equity officer for the Atlanta-based nonprofit, the Partnership for Southern Equity. Nathaniel, welcome.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And a note of disclosure, WABE's broadcast license is held by the Atlanta Board of Education. Nathaniel, you've been hearing, we've been talking about housing. How do you define affordable housing? How do you define affordable housing? What does it look like?
So let me first start by really commending A Closer Look for being so diligent in really articulating the affordable housing challenges that we have in the city and beyond. More media should really focus on this issue because it really is a ticking time bomb for our region. And many people have turned away from it because it's not an easy answer. And going into that, how you define affordability is not an easy answer. Mm-hmm. You have, of course, general definitions that are developed under the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. But we're also learning, for example, that in the city of Atlanta, people are paying 50% of their income on housing and transportation. Barely enough for individuals to have an opportunity to survive and afford Atlanta. And so even that, with the new definition of affordability, it has to, again, be woven into a broader, more comprehensive understanding of what does it take for people to really live and thrive in a community. And just because you can afford housing doesn't necessarily mean that you can afford to live in the city of Atlanta.
And when you talk about affordable housing and a school district like APS, you're talking about a partnership, but why is this initiative so important?
Well, I'll tell you, this is really exciting and a historic initiative, which is one of the reasons why I agreed to chair this task force. Only one other school district in the nation has moved forward into developing an affordable housing strategy, and that is in L.A. We are beginning to understand, and I believe that the Atlanta School Board also in the school system understands in Atlanta that shelter in itself is more than just that. Mm-hmm. It is a gateway to opportunity, that we cannot expect for schools to provide the quality education or for young people to actually be positioned to receive that quality education if, for example, 20% of the students of APS have moved at least one time in 1 year. You cannot expect for students to get a quality education when they're concerned about quality housing. And so for APS and for this task force, it's really about how do we expand an understanding of a important educational experience for young people, whereby we are supporting the development of the next generation of workers in our city by understanding that school and having a good schoolhouse is one part of it, but you also have to embed those good schools into good, strong communities.
What was the catalyst for kind of this moment where you all decided, hey, we have to address this now and for the future?
Well, you know, I've thrown out some statistics. One, of course, are the market shifts that are happening in Atlanta. It is becoming more and more difficult for the parents and children of the Atlanta public school system to actually live in the communities where they're going to school. 77% of young people who go to APS schools are on free and reduced lunch, which means that we have to begin to create housing that will meet those kids and those families where they are. Also, you know, I think the Atlanta public school system also saw it as their civic duty to create a great educational experience for young people, which expands again beyond the schoolhouse. Early on, APS had developed an equity assessment of the APS system to really look at some of the equity issues that they're facing. I think it is the leadership, both from the school board and also on the administrative level with the superintendent, are really sensitive to the issues of equity and affordability. And then three, you know, one of the things that makes housing expensive is not necessarily the actual development, but the land that the housing sits on. And so APS has a very unique opportunity in the amount of land that it owns to actually begin to think differently about, well, how can we leverage this as a way to provide housing choices and stable housing for not just the students and their families, but also the teachers, the people that drive the buses, mm-hmm. The individuals that clean up those schools. They deserve good housing, too. And so as the chair of this committee, that is what I am committed to, is to really trying to find a solution that will finally look at housing through APS's leadership as a gateway to opportunity and prosperity for the people who will live in those units.
Now, at least in the past, school districts have been seen as being in the business of education, not the business of housing. Mm-hmm. So when you look forward and you start to blend those lines, how well positioned is a district like APS to be able to do this, to fulfill this task?
Well, I think the APS system was very smart to understand what they know and what they don't know. By creating a task force of some of the most committed and smart, not including me, of course, individuals that can bring a very unique and important perspective to helping to deliberate around affordable housing and affordable housing strategy for APS, I think they started in the right direction. Going back to this comment about the business of education, I think that there are definitely expectations in terms of the Atlanta Public School System in terms of it being run in an efficient and effective manner. And I think we have leadership that is committed to that. The real question, though, is that what is the role of the Atlanta Public School System in positioning the next generation of business leaders for our region? That is reflective of the changing demographics that we see in our country. And all children benefit from a diverse school. As market pressures continue to increase, can we honestly say that schools will be diverse mm-hmm. if the kids that now are on free and reduced lunch, and I said 77% of them, don't have a chance to live in the district? Those are the questions. So it's not just about giving them an opportunity to have a quality education, but also giving the region an opportunity, the city an opportunity to have the best talent that it can have in order to create a strong and competitive economy.
You have MARTA CEO Keith Parker. You have Atlanta Housing Authority CEO Catherine Buell. You have Ryan Gravel, the man behind the Atlanta Beltline. You have a lot of people on this task force. I believe Bill Bowling.
Yes.
You all have these people who are community leaders, who are business leaders. So what's your first line of business, so to speak? Do you come up with a strategy, or do you look at the properties that you have? Because then that's another question.
So I think there is work that has to actually be done before that, and that is the work of what do we collectively believe in. As you bring various perspectives around the table, everyone may potentially look at success in a different way. Mm-hmm. So it is my charge and my responsibility for everyone to not only have clarity on what success will look like, but also to take the time to actually learn about the challenges that we're facing in this city and the families and the students in our broader community, and also learn from what other people are doing around the country. I mean, we're spending a great deal of time learning from other people, a great deal of time learning to work together and trust one another. And so after that, then the process will begin around looking at the various properties, what properties are more consistent with the urgency of providing affordable housing, what properties could potentially be used for more community benefit than just affordable housing. All of those things.
Like a community center
or a clinic. or other amenities that many of these communities may need.
You mentioned LA is the only other model in the nation. So does that mean you all need to get with them, go out there, look at? Now, LA and Atlanta aren't exactly comparable in terms of the city, but they're there's a large city. And LA is huge.
Right.
So will you have to go out there and sort of look at that as a template?
Well, we're going to try our best to be as limited in terms of the cost for this as possible. You know, our hope is that through the due diligence of the researchers at APS, of course, and connecting with the school system, we will have a chance, and thank goodness for the modern technology. You know, there are opportunities to conference them in. But we're going to try to learn our best from them. I think also we need to learn, hopefully, from L.A. and other places like the Bay Area, in other places, that if you don't find a way to move early before the market is just totally saturated, then it'll be a what if proposition. And so I think a lot of it, too, is about how can we not be a Los Angeles? How could we not be a San Francisco? How can we not be a Puget Sound area in Seattle and other places where the market is just so through the roof that all of the kids are pretty much in the suburbs. One statistic that we talked about before the show started is that right now, 88% of our poor in our metropolitan region live in the suburbs and not the city. 88%. So this perception that the impoverished live in urban areas is changing. Mm-hmm. And so what are we doing to ensure that the folks that remain aren't being pushed out?
This is Closer Look, and we're talking about the new Atlanta Board of Education Affordable Housing Task Force. Our guest is the task force chairman, Nathaniel Smith. And I want to come back to the task force work. Have you all identified the properties or areas where you all are going to start?
Yes. So what we initiated first was to really look at a list. So every individual that is a part of the task force has a list of properties. There are also some additional properties that APS does not own yet, of course, because the city still has some of the deeds from APS, and we hope that we'll have a chance to get those soon. The mayor has been very vocal about the importance of affordable housing as it relates to these policies. So we hope that through his leadership, we will have a chance to finally create the type of policy environment through the work of APS to really provide the type of affordable housing that folks need in the city of Atlanta. So right now people have, a list. We're going to stratify that list in terms of what is the greatest opportunity, the immediate opportunity, and what is the kind of they're already sold and so there's not much we can do. And then after that, of course, learning from the best practices of other people and also learning to trust each other. Because, again, I mean, you have from the for-profit development community to equity advocates like me. I would say that it is definitely making a statement for me to be chairing this committee.
Yeah, because you were designed from the
another
entity.
So,
that was,
you know, I have been a critical voice of many in this city, but also a great friend to many folks who have committed to being courageous around these issues of equity and affordability. And so for the chair and the superintendent and APS to actually put me in a position to actually drive and support policy says a lot. And so I commend them for that.
Give us a scope, if you will, of how many properties we're talking about and kind of where scattered throughout the city, at least the first ones will be located.
Yeah. So from what I'm seeing, we have 70 plus properties. A lot of them, of course. And
do you have deeds to all those properties?
No. I don't know for sure about that. But I know from the list, there are 70 properties, and I think there are even more properties that we're working to try to get the deeds from. They're scattered throughout. I will say, though, that the most opportunities for affordability and development are not on the north side. Many of those have already either been sold or in a position to be sold. There are some opportunities, but really the abundance or the abundant opportunities for development are kind of in the northwest side of town, south side of town. There are some opportunities along the Beltline as well. So again, I mean, there are many ways to back into it. I mean, do you focus on where the greatest need is? Do you focus in areas where you're anticipating the growth to come. So we have to figure all of that out. And
does that concern you that perhaps where it's most expensive to live, so where equity would be the biggest challenge, there are not these opportunities to create this, say, for example, in North Atlanta?
Yeah, and I mean, and that is where the push and pull is. I mean, you know, where the opportunities are for APS to sell properties and make the most dollar early on before this effort began. Of course, APS thought it was in their best interest to do that. There are other opportunities as well, but what we're really hoping, when you have leadership like Keith Parker and others, you know, how can we find ways to leverage MARTA, you know, and opportunities around transit-oriented development? How can we leverage our relationship with the Atlanta Housing Authority? The executive director of the Atlanta Housing Authority is on the board as well. There are many. So how can we work together to create a tapestry of opportunity, utilizing the properties that we have at APS as an anchor for that opportunity? So it will require a more comprehensive approach. But we're hoping really that this effort will lead the way in the city, and really through positive peer pressure, of course, encourage the city of Atlanta to do even more as it pertains to their what they have control over around encouraging affordability in the city.
We spoke to APS Board Chair Courtney English about this. He told Closer Look, he said, you know, the district is not interested in being landlords and maintaining properties. Will the task force, when it gets down to it, will you all oversee all of this in terms of even handling contracts? And then comes the whole issue of how transparent will this process be? You know, you look at what's happening right now down at City Hall.
Yes.
You know, who's going to oversee all of this?
So the meetings that we're having are public meetings. Our next meeting will be on March the 7th. I can't remember the time right now, but please go to the Atlanta Public School website. I've been very, very clear to the leadership of APS that this will be a transparent process. This is a journey as well, and we have not reached that destination, you know, so stay tuned. I don't know where we will end up in terms of what the policy decisions will be around it. But I would foresee a more collaborative approach where we actually lean on the intellectual capital of the people in the room to maybe potentially handle some of the things that APS has not been legislatively required and may not be the best person or entity to do it. That is the value of having a task force, is that you bring people that you believe brings a certain part of the answer that we can begin to weave together and be successful together.
Someone listening saying, this sounds great, but also sounds like this is not something that's going to happen next year or maybe even the year after that. When do you expect or anticipate we could actually see something, a facility, a building, mm-hmm. a housing facility or something, 2019, 2020?
Well, that is why I'm really excited. One is that this task force is not an advisory committee, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, on the political side, you create advisory committees for cachet, but not necessarily public policy. So, you know, that is what I'm really excited about. So real policy will come out of this committee. The second thing I'm excited about is that we're only having 6 meetings. So we're moving into our second meeting now. And so after that, we'll have 4 more meetings. And it is looking as if we're going to meet once a month. So after 6 meetings, something will come out of the task force. And hopefully will be utilized to really drive the affordable housing agenda for APS moving forward. So this is not a long and analysis paralysis opportunity. This is really about getting the work done and moving forward so the children can benefit from this.
Best case scenario, if every goal that you all implement is met and met to the best possible outcome, how big of a dent could this potentially have on a lack of affordable housing in the city of Atlanta?
Well, I personally believe that the ripple effect, so there are some tangible impacts in terms of the units that will be created as a result of affordable housing by APS. But if MARTA, if AHA, if the city of Atlanta, if others begin to understand the urgency of this and actually leverage APS's policy decision making as a way forward, then the impacts of this could be potentially exponential, not only in terms of the built environment, but also the culture of this city, which will hopefully begin to think more about affordability and inclusion and really begin to initiate policies that will encourage that. So to be specific, You know, I believe that, I mean, we have a major housing crisis in this city. I'm not here to say that this is the magic bullet. What I will say is that this is a positive step forward, and it's only been done one other time. And so I'm hoping that we can at least create, you know, a good group, a good number. I can't give you that exact number, but hopefully it'll create a good number and good processes mm-hmm. and policies that other jurisdictions can use in Atlanta moving forward.
All right. Well, we've been talking about a new Atlanta Board of Education task force focusing on affordable housing. Our guest has been its chairman, Nathaniel Smith. We should also again say a WABE's broadcast license is held by the Atlanta Board of Education. Nathaniel, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time.